Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, so all that we have invested, we lay all on the line tonight. For us, together, for each other, all right? The journey starts tonight.
Oh,
to try to tie this game. He missed it. And the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl.
Good evening, everyone. From Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana, it is Super Bowl 46.
This is our moment. Let's take this and roll with it.
Super Bowl 46 is underway.
Here in the early going, the Giants dominating the line of scrimmage. That's Tom Coughlin style.
Throws one. Not touchdown, Giants. Victor Cruz on the slam.
That's a heck of a throw and a heck of a catch by Mario Manningham.
He's given the Giants the lead, but it was an almost reluctant touchdown by Bradshaw. And now the Super Bowl is going to come down to a Hail Mary. Brady, he is one. The jump ball, and it's
incomplete, and the ball game's over.
Finished is what Tom Coughlin said, and Eli Manning and the Giants have finished off the Patriots in the Super Bowl for the second time in 4 years.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mm.
Germany?
Mm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars? What about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Welcome in, everyone. Seven minutes past the hour. Welcome to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Yours truly on the wheel. I know we always say that for those of us who remember the days of the true DJs with two turntables, a mixer, and a microphone. But today is not necessarily a day to reminisce. Well, unless you're an Alabama Crimson Tide fan, because your season is gone. Well, I mean that with all humbleness, because you kind of feel bad for the seniors at Alabama, but let's get into it. Eight minutes past the hour, we rock and roll right into college football, because yesterday was an amazing day, especially if you're a Texas A&M fan. You have taken down number one and thrown a true wrench in the system for the BCS and the Bowl Championship Series. So 25 down to one, let's run them down. There are some shocks, to say the least. Ball State getting it done against number 25 Toledo, 34-27. Number 24 Northwestern falls to Michigan in overtime, 38-31. Rutgers 28-7 winner over Army. Texas Tech a 41-34 winner over the winless Kansas Jayhawks. Louisiana Tech a 62-55 winner. That had to be a lot of fun. Winner. USC takes care of Arizona State 38-17. Number 18 UCLA Washington State 40-36 takes care of ISU 33-7. Nebraska, 32 winner over Penn State. Number 13, Clemson, 45-10 over Maryland. Number 12, and again, against a terrible Baylor defense, but a Baylor offense that can put up points, ekes out the win 42-34. Stanford eases by Oregon State. That had to be an awfully good game to watch, 27-23. Florida State squeezes by Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's really kind of fallen off the map these last few years, but Florida State gets it done 20-22. Number 9, falls as Syracuse, unranked Syracuse, takes care of the once undefeated Louisville Cardinals, 45-26. They were ranked number 11. That's going to fall. Number 8, the best 7-2 team in college football, now 8-2, as South Carolina takes care of Arkansas, 38-20. Number 7, LSU takes care of Mississippi State, 37-17. Florida, 27-20 winner. Georgia, the Bulldogs take care of a really bad Auburn football team this year, 38-0. Florida continues to roll 21 over the nemesis for them the last few years, BC. Number 3, the Oregon Ducks, who may have had the absolute biggest celebration last night of any team, rolls California 59-17. We looked at Oregon last night after the shocking well, the other situation we'll get to in a minute, and it was 10-10. And I think once the notice got to the West Coast that there was a bigger opportunity here, Oregon just began to roll. And 59 points later, the number three team in the nation sits pretty. Number two, Kansas State, takes care of TCU 23-10. Not as impressive, obviously, as Oregon, but none of that will actually matter because number 15, Texas A&M, shocks the system by upsetting number one, Alabama, 29-24. If you did not watch this game or you were too busy dealing with family, kids, husband, wife, whatever it was that kept you away from what had to be the college football game of the year, I'm sorry to say you missed it. Somewhere along the line, that'll be an instant ESPN classic. You'll definitely want to see that. Texas A&M jumps to a huge lead early. Goes at 20-0. And as soon as the third touchdown is scored and the extra point is missed, you immediately know that this may come back to bite Texas A&M in the tuchus. And then Alabama gets rolling. It's 20-7. Then it's 20-14. Then you get the break. Then it's 23-14. Again, if you go to ESPN.com and just find it, it'll be on the scoreboard because it is definitely the top story right now. Look at the box score and the breakdown. You'll see Texas A&M putting up 20. You know, Alabama coming back with 15. Then Alabama with 3. At one point, it was 20-17. Then the next thing you know, it's 29-23. But Alabama has the ball, and they're driving, and they're driving. And you see this thing starting to unravel for Texas A&M. And here comes number one. Here comes the vaunted, undefeated, still in the untouchable Alabama Crimson Tide. And you heard the Roll Tide. Then the crowd is rocking, and it's going, and it's going. And they get inside the five. And all of a sudden, they run into a Texas A&M defense that suddenly has found a little bit of metal and a little bit of heart. And, yes, I want to take you inside that particular scene because at that moment, Texas A&M Super Bowl is right in front of their hands. Alabama's season is on the line. Everyone in that stadium, including Texas A&M, knows where the next play is going. It was all a matter of execution. McCarron rolls out to his right, throws what should be a quick little out to the wide receiver. But like I told you, everyone in the stadium knows what's coming, including the cornerback who steps in front of the wide receiver and intercepts the pass. Texas A&M gets it done. And the funny thing is, even after that interception, you still doubted that this thing was actually over. They had to kill the clock. They had to run four plays and get as much time off that as possible. And uniquely enough, got it done. Congratulations to the Texas A&M Aggies for not being went to the SEC, but for truly, truly upsetting the apple cart. I mean upsetting the apple cart to no end. Manziel, two touchdowns, 253 yards. Lacy, 16 carries, 92 yards and a touchdown. Wide receiver Swope, 11 catches, 111 yards and a touchdown. Those are your top performers. You know, Alabama, and give Texas A&M's defense a lot of credit early on. They just made some great moves. And, again, Alabama seemed maybe a little bit out of sync. Maybe there was some hangover from the LSU game. But when you're number one, you have to know every single week that you're going to get the best out of everyone that comes at you. 13-13 past the hour. It's exciting for Kansas State. It's exciting for the Oregon Ducks. I have family that live in Oregon, and I started getting tweets and text messages, and all they said was quack. That was the greatest. And to kudos to those of you who kind of got it. Quack, quack, quack. Now let's talk briefly about Oregon and what's going to happen ideally tonight when the new rankings come out. And how far will Alabama fall? It is absolutely important and critical that you as fans understand this thing is may not be as over as you think it is for Alabama. There are four teams that are undefeated at the top of the heap. Three are left now. There were obviously were four Alabama. So now we've got Notre Dame, you've got Oregon, you've got Kansas State. That's it. So you figure they're going to make up one, two, and three. The question is, who's number one? Because Kansas State was number two based purely on the computer rankings. And based on the strength of schedule, I don't think they're going to be able to hold on to that. Oregon made last night a statement game. 14 points in the first quarter, 10 in the second, 14 in the third, 21 in the fourth, 59 points. Put on, albeit not necessarily a very good Cal football team, but 59 points in any college football game is 59 points. They're staking their claim. Now, understand, they're going to be one or two, which, if all things play themselves out at this point, there's no indication that they shouldn't. You're going to have what may actually be an exciting offensive game in Oregon versus Kansas State in your national title game. And then, of course, there's Notre Dame, who has to play USC at the end of the year. for all indications, Notre Dame may actually get the nod as far as strength of schedule, which means they could jump one of these programs. Which program will that be? Kansas State has not had a tough schedule this year. You know, by all intents, the Big 12 has not been impressive in that regard. Oklahoma's taken a step back. A lot of the programs, Texas has taken a step back. But it's Kansas State. They play in the Big 12. They get a lot of love. And let's face it, everyone loves the underdog. Everyone does. And Kansas State is that team this year playing just good enough. And with the Heisman hopeful, their quarterback, I don't want to butcher his last name, but I'll get that for you, are good enough to make a statement. Can that statement be that we're best of the best in the land of the national champion? Can Kansas State Wildcats be that team? Or is it truly time to start quacking the Oregon song? Or is it time for the Golden Domers to really truly make a statement? Let's take a look together at what this really, really means. So let's go inside this, guys. 16 past the hour. We are 1 minute past our love for college football, but that's okay because this is good stuff. Good, good, good. You got to love the fact that the apple cart's been shaken. It has truly, truly been upset. We weren't supposed to be talking about Kansas State and Oregon as a potential national title game. But that is where you're at. And you do realize, please, for those of you who follow college football, please realize that the best team in college football will get no love this year because of their sanctions. And that is a 10-0 Ohio State team that you will hear absolutely nothing from because of sanctions, because of trouble with the NCAA. But Urban Meyer has Ohio State playing great football. They run a bye this weekend. Look for them to continue to run the table. So now, you have Kansas State sitting at 10-0, Oregon sitting at 10-0, and Notre Dame sitting at 10-0. And a whole really, really slew of really good now one-loss teams in Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. And Florida State is further down. Oregon State, they just lost, so much for those guys. Clemson would love to make a statement, but their strength of schedule doesn't even give them a sniff. So, for what it's worth, you have now a bit of a conundrum. The computers will have to determine between now and sometime this evening, where does Kansas State sit? They may actually sit at number one after tonight. That's right, Kansas State, number one in the country, followed by Oregon at number two, or Notre Dame at number two, depending entirely on what the computer says of the strength of schedule. What's down the road for each of these teams? Notre Dame has to finish up with USC. Or I'm not sure who they play this tight game, and it looks like Kansas State may be in the same kind of boat. I like, which is probably a bit unfair, but, well, let's say next week Kansas State gets Baylor, which means they get a porous defense, but an offense that can put up points. So it is not conceivable that Kansas State could lose in a shootout next week. That is very, very possible. On the other hand, and let's see, I guess we'll get an idea as to how close we are to the end of the season here. Notre Dame next week plays Wake Forest, and then they finish up with USC. So it is not conceivable for Notre Dame. Again, there is no conference affiliation, so they should go to Wake Forest. They're at home against Wake Forest. That should get them 11-0, and then, of course, they'll get USC to finish the season. And USC will not be easy. Beating a team like USC, again, further down, certainly way down in the rankings, still should bolster their argument that they should be considered one of the teams. All right. I'll bear with me a second. This is the fun thing of what I get to do on a day-to-day basis and just some good old-fashioned research. By the way, kudos to them for taking care of their arch nemesis. Boston College had owned Notre Dame for quite some time. It's nice to see them get past that. To the Oregon Ducks argument now. They get Stanford next week. There is the argument of why you should be number one or number two. Stanford is a good football team, and the reality for those for Oregon is they, my friends, handled USC, putting up 62 points. They've now handled, again, albeit a bad Cal team with 59 points. What will they put up on Stanford this coming Saturday on the 17th? That will be the statement, that will be the argument that Oregon could jump Kansas State. Okay? So I think that's about enough of college football because I don't want to turn your brains into soup because we've got week 10 of the National Football League upon us today. 20 minutes past the hour for those of you getting ready to do whatever you want in your space. It's a great day. It's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be wherever you are in this wonderful world. Thank you for joining us in the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. We've got fantasy football going on too. So before we do some other things, again, baseball's over. Basketball's just getting started. We'll talk about some stories within basketball as well. Is anyone even watching boxing anymore? Does anyone even pay attention? Because I don't know if you knew this enough, but there was an actual championship boxing match last night. But I don't think anyone cared. I really don't. No one cared. No one paid attention. It happened in Hamburg, Germany. You know, a Klitschko brother who holds, I guess, all the titles, fighting some 6'7 guy and winds up beating him in a unanimous decision and didn't appear like it was much of a fight. But I don't know that anyone even paid attention. So that's your boxing love for the day. Let's get into your... I'm sorry, I thought that was kind of humorous. Forgive me. Boxing has taken a major league step backwards. I mean, gone are the days of the Mike Tyson fandom and Don King's hair and everything that was about Ali and Joe Frazier's in the days in the 70s and 80s when boxing meant something. We still have Floyd Mayweather, but that's when he's not in lockup and, you know, not saying anything stupid, getting himself in trouble. So much for that. So that's it for our college football love for today. Let's see. Do we want to jump into the NFL now or a little bit early? You know, let's hit on some other things first and foremost. Let's talk briefly about this boxing match last night, because you don't know about it because no one really cares anymore. But Vladimir Klitschko retained his WBA, IBF, and WBO heavyweight titles, unanimously outpointing Poland's Mariusz Wach on Saturday night, who was 6'7". Of course, the tallest opponent Klitschko's ever faced in his 16 years of boxing. Judges' scores 120-107, 120-107, 119-109 for Klitschko. He was troubled maybe one time with the story that, you know, walking with the right hook that maybe, you know, bothered him. But other than that, it was a night for Klitschko to basically retain his titles, and that's about all there's to tell about that. Nothing else, nothing going on. We can move on. It is time to talk National Football League football. Yay! And for those of you who play fantasy football, let's get your rundown and your breakdowns now, because we love you guys, and we want to know what you're starting, what you're not starting, and give you some insight into who you should be starting and sitting based on the positions you have to fill. So, as always, we run down your top 10 positions for all positions on the football field, the top 10 teams and or players in those positions. So we start with the defense today. Top 10 defenses today in the National Football League, Week 10. If you're starting and playing them, the New England Patriots come at number 10. Number 9, the Baltimore Ravens. Number 8, the Denver Broncos. Number 7, the Miami Dolphins. They're playing Tennessee, and you should definitely, if you've got those guys, you start them. Number 6, the Giants playing at Cincinnati. Number 5, the Seattle Seahawks. Number 4, the 49ers against the Rams. Number 3, the Houston Texans. I don't know if it's our boys, the Bears in Middle Earth. And 1 and 1A today. 1A is the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against Kansas City. That's purely a matchup decision. And number 1 today is the Chicago Bears defense going up against Houston. And if you didn't understand why, let me be the first to tell you. The reason the Bears defense sits high, that defense has scored 8 touchdowns in its first 8 games. They're creating more turnovers than Dolly Madison makes the turnover pie with icing on it. The Bears defense is good. Now, that's not to usurp the fact that the Houston Texans defense is very, very good. The number one ranked defense in the NFL based on yards per game is the Pittsburgh Steelers. So 1, 2, 3 this week are probably pretty doggone consistent. So if you've got the Bears Steelers or the Houston Texans, feel free to consider starting them. Don't look for that Bears-Texans game to be a high-scoring affair. We will all be stunned if either one of those offenses really gets it rolling today, because those defenses are indeed good. Next, Kickers, Sean Spam of Pittsburgh. Number 9, Justin Tucker in Baltimore. Jason Hansen of the Lions. David Akers of the Niners. Number 6 is Robbie Gold of our Bears. Number 5, Sebastian Janikowski of the Raiders. 4, Blair Walsh of Minnesota. 3, Stephen Gostkowski with the Pats. Number 2, Matt Bryan, Atlanta. And number 1 this week, based purely on the matchup, is Lawrence Tynes of the New York Giants, who will be going up against Cincinnati in about an hour and a half. So those are your kickers for today. And for those of you who have been paying attention, some kickers actually put up a lot of points because their offenses just aren't that good. They're good enough to get you, you know, inside the, you know, between the 40s and 20s of the opposing team's side of the field, but that team tends to squander, and the next thing you know, they're kicking a field goal. So just ask the Chicago Bears week 2 when they gave up, 5 field goals to Green Bay to lose the game. I'm sorry, it was 3 field goals and 1 special teams touchdown. Yes, I'm a Bears defensive head. I admit that. All right. We're doing tight ends. Top 10 tight ends for today. Fantasy love. Number 2, Martellus Bennett of the Giants. Number 9, Jermaine Grisham in Cincinnati. Number 8, Antonio Gates in San Diego. Number 7, Vernon Davis of the Niners. Number 6, Owen Daniels in Houston. Ooh, that's going to be a good matchup. Number 4, Heath Miller in Pittsburgh. 4A, Tony Gonzalez in Atlanta. Number 3, Jason Whitman in Dallas. Number 2, Jimmy Graham for the first time. Well, I'm sorry, I take that back. I almost said the first time this year Jimmy Graham's number 2 in New Orleans, because that's one of Drew Brees' favorite targets. That's only because Rob Gronkowski is helping in New England, and everyone knows New England that Gronk gets the ball. So Gronk and Jimmy Graham, if you've got any of those guys, Whitten, Gonzalez, Miller, Daniels, Davis, Gates, Gresham, or Bennett, you're starting those tight ends today. To the wide receivers, and it's always fun to see wide receivers, you know, when they're from your teams that you actually enjoy. So your top 10 wideouts today, number 10, Mike Wallace. Actually, we're going to give you 11 because there's 10 and 10A here. Mike Wallace of Pittsburgh, 10A, Demaryius Thomas in Denver. He's got Peyton to work with. 9, Marcus Colston gets the ball from Drew Brees. Number 8, Vincent Jackson, who gets the ball from, what is his name? I can see his face. Your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Josh Freeman, thank you very much. Number 7, Wes Welker. Number 6, Brandon Marshall of Bears, will be, you know, pitching and catching with Jay Cutler tonight. Victor Cruz gets it from from Eli Manning. Number 4, Calvin Johnson, who will get it from Matt Stafford. Number 3, Roddy White, who will get it from Matt Ryan. Number 2, Julio Jones, who will get it from Tony Romo. And number 1, this week, A.J. Green, Cincinnati wideout going up against the Giants, will be getting it from the redhead Andy Dalton today. So those are your love for your wideouts. Again, Wallace, Thomas, Colston, Jackson, Welker, Marshall, Cruz, Johnson, White, Jones, and Green represent the tops in your wide receiving core based on the prognostication from those of us who consider ourselves experts. Number 10 in the running back category today starts off with our buddies in Chicago. Matt Forte goes in at number 10. Number 9, Frank Gore, the Niners. Number 8, McGahee. Number 7, Shane McCoy in Philly. Number 6, Stephen Ridley in New England Patriots. Number 5, Dougie Martin in Tampa Bay. Number 4, Marshawn Lynch in Seattle. Number 3, Arian Foster against our vaunted defense. Not sure how that's going to work out. And number 2, Adrian Peterson, Minnesota going up against Detroit. And number 1, based again purely on matchup, is our buddy Ray Rice out of the Baltimore Ravens. Based purely on the list that it's going to have constituted, I really don't think Matt Forte or Arian Foster are going to have huge days unless it is truly in garbage time where they just fatten up their numbers. But enough said about that. Let's get to the guy who touches the ball every single snap, and those are your quarterbacks. Today, just today, your top 10. I'm not sure about number 10, but that's what the experts have kind of landed on. So number 10 today, Michael Vick, Philadelphia, going up against Dallas. Number 9, Eli Manning. Number 8, Josh Freeman. Number 7, Cam Newton, Carolina, goes up against Denver. Number 6, Ben Roethlisberger. Number 5, Matthew Stafford. Number 4, Manning, against Carolina in Carolina. Number 3, Drew Brees gets Atlanta, even though he's at home. And 2, Matt Ryan, Atlanta at New Orleans. So those 2, 2, and 3, going up against each other. And number 1, based purely on the matchup, Tom Brady. It's been a while since we've seen Tom at the top of the heap, but he goes up against Buffalo today in Foxborough. So if you're a Tom Brady head, you've got to love the fact that you've got a shot to put up some pretty good, decent points. And again, it is always, always a prudent idea to never celebrate because you lead in your fantasy game after Sunday. It always, always comes down to Monday night. I've learned the hard way. Never celebrate because you have a big lead just after Sunday's activity. Yes, there's Sunday night football, but there's always Monday night. And it'll be just your luck that the guy that you're beating up on has two guys starting on Monday night. So be careful when you trash talk, all right? 31 left in the ride. The Fast 6 minutes of sport. We'll be right back after these messages.
All your documents, photos, movies, and music at your fingertips all the time. That's the power of the cloud. That's the power of HP WebOS. HP, everybody on.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Getting the whole family ready for high-definition TV is easy with Turbo HD by Dish Network. You get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Sweet Life on Deck. With over 120 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
Who the hell do you think you are?
I'm sorry, you couldn't hear me. The pregame show before the pregame show, which means you couldn't hear me going back and forth with the Crypt Keeper. That was too bad. Oh, all right, guys, get that sorted out. In the meantime, back on the ride. 30 minutes left in the in this one. The pregame show before the pregame show rolls on. For those of you watching your AFC games, you'll be ready to rock and roll with all your CBS affiliates in about 29 minutes. Those watching the NFC games today, they'll have Fox affiliate rocking and rolling in about 29 minutes as well. The Sunday Night Affair will be on NBC. And, of course, the Monday Night Affair is on ESPN tomorrow night. So kudos to those guys. In about 13 minutes, we're going to turn things over to our buddies over at ESPN, Mike and Mike in the Morning, to give us a Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock. That's 3 minutes of always the best fun. And we need to take a look at breaking down your Week 10 lineup. Now, once upon a time, when we were really, really on our game, we used to love to do our Levin picks, and it was recorded, and it was great. It was a ton of fun. And the bottom line is we got away from that simply because there just wasn't enough time in the 1 hour to do the whole show, or so I thought. So we may see if we can't fire that thing back up next week. But this week, week 10 of the National Football League begins with Tennessee in Miami. Miami gets it done. That's all to say. We're not going to waste a lot of time giving you a whole bunch of tidbits and peels and why Miami's going to beat Tennessee. Tennessee's just a young team learning to get together. Their coach is under some scrutiny now to get the running game going. Miami's just a better football team. Miami gets it done. Game two, Detroit at Minnesota. Harbin is out with an ankle injury. Peterson's a little dinged, but he's going to play. And Detroit needs to get it going if they're going to make a statement this year. This is truly the step-back year for Detroit. So, I've got to hinge it on Minnesota. Christian Pond is going to get it done. But do not be surprised if Detroit wins that game. If you're a betting guy, you stay away from that game. Buffalo travels to Foxborough to take on New England today. This is going to be the Tom Brady show, so I take New England in that and give the points if you're going to the window. That should be very, very one-sided. Atlanta at New Orleans. This will probably be the most entertaining game of the day just because it's Matt Ryan to Roddy White and to Julio Jones versus Drew Brees to Marcus Colston, Lance Moore, and Jimmy Graham. A lot of points expected in this game, and I am predicting, and you heard it here first, Atlanta falls today. Okay, I lost a really, really fun bet last weekend when Atlanta kind of took care of my boys, the Dallas Cowboys. That's not going to happen today. So if you're listening, I'm telling you right now, New Orleans gets it done against Atlanta today. And if you want to say something about it, or you got some snippet you want to put in there, or hit me on Facebook or whatever, I'm telling you right now, that's my challenge. Anyone listening, Atlanta will not be undefeated by the end of this afternoon. All right, saying that, stamp it. San Diego at Tampa Bay. Two teams, I'd love to say they were headed in different directions, but I think they both kind of flatlined. They're both just okay. Tampa Bay is learning how to play a little bit better with Josh Freeman and Vincent Jackson. San Diego can't seem to get out of its own way half the time. Lean to Tampa Bay to win that game today just because they're at home. Denver at Carolina. On paper, this would have been a much more even matchup, except for the fact that Peyton Manning has found his flair and found his youthfulness all over again, and he is starting to get it figured out with Aaron Decker and Demaryius Thomas. Look for Denver to roll against Carolina. Give the points. Go with Denver. Afternoon game, Seattle. Once upon a time, this game would have mattered. Seattle's defense is good. The Jets used to have a good defense. Then again, heck, the Jets used to have a good football team. That seems to have waned as well. So look for Seattle to handle business against the Jets this afternoon. I don't know what the spread is, but if it's less than 5, give the points and take Seattle. Again, 4 o'clock game, Dallas at Philadelphia. This game used to really, really mean something. Division rivals going head-to-head. Philly's at home. Vickles fighting for his job. Andy Reid's holding on to his job. Jerry Jones is looking at his coach and his coordinators of what we're doing. Are we getting the most out of Tony Romo? This is going to be a Donnybrook of an afternoon football game. I do believe this will be the number one game probably on Fox this afternoon. So look for Dallas to show up. Look for Dallas to press Philadelphia in a lot of carry. Put some pressure on Michael Vick. Don't be surprised if you see DeMarcus Ware come off the edge quite a bit after Mike Vick and putting, just a tremendous amount of pressure. But Philadelphia, with a solid running game on the way, will make it interesting. In the end, look for Dallas to eke this one out 23-20, 27-24, somewhere in that ball game. I do not know what the spread is on those games, but I do like Dallas to win that game. The other late game, St. Louis at the Niners. This game should be all Niners. again, the Rams are still young. Fisher's got the defense playing well. It would be an absolute shock to the system should the Rams pull out this victory. You just don't see it happening. The Niners are too good. The Niners are, with the exception of the fact that the Niners certainly could look past the Rams, me looking at Chicago next week, because again, you're a two-loss Niner team that probably should only have one loss on their books right now, and you've had some inconsistencies, but your quarterback's playing much better, so why not? Niners should take care of business. And then the Sunday night affair that just about everybody is talking about all over the nation. It's on every media broadcast you come up with. The Houston Texans travel to Chicago, Soldier Field, Sunday night. Let's talk a little bit about this setting. It's going to be about 45 to 50 degrees outside all time. It's bare weather. The game is outside. Houston plays indoors. Slows the game down just a little bit. I don't know how good that Houston Texan offensive line is in terms of protecting its quarterback. But you can best believe that Julius Peppers, Henry Melton, Israel Adonijé, Stephen Paye, and all the guys coming off that line may come off that line a little bit with an edge and an attitude. They've heard all week long about how good Schaub can be, how good Andre Johnson is, and they certainly know how good Arian Foster is. Houston runs the ball incredibly well. They give great lanes. I don't know that Houston's faced a defense as good as Chicago's. I don't know if they faced one as opportunistic as Chicago. Arian Foster, while he historically is not prone to put the ball on the carpet, will face ball punches he's never seen before from Lance Briggs and from Pina Tillman. On the flip side for Chicago, can they keep Jay Cutler upright? The Houston defense at one point was ranked number one in this league. They get off the ball. J.J. Watt was nicknamed J.J. Swat. You don't throw a pass over that kid's head. It's going to get it down. And they've got help on that defensive line. Now, the names kind of fail me right now, but the bottom line is Houston's defense is very, very good. I do believe Cushing is out today, so whoever the replacement is, obviously he's doing a decent job in that role for Houston to can maintain a top-level defense. Can Cutler to Marshall work? Can Cutler to Devin Hester work tonight? Can Matt Forte get off the line? The Bears' run blocking is very, very good, and when they do what they do, Shiloh Rishal, and that Gabe Kareemi and those big guys, big hogs up front, when they do what they do, this could be a very, very entertaining game. It would not surprise me if this game at halftime is 3-3. It would not surprise me if it's 10-7. It would surprise me if either one of these teams get to 20 points tonight. It will surprise me greatly. Unless, of course, there is a defensive or a special teams touchdown. If you break the game down in that realm, in all three phases, you probably give the offense a nudge to Houston. Give the defense nudge to Chicago. But the big plus is the special team, and that is all Chicago. Anytime you can change field position for the fear that Devin Hester creates, anytime if you make them say, pick him, that he can take this thing to the house, that is a huge advantage. And Houston may not have an answer for that. So it'll be fun to see exactly how tonight plays out. Again, both teams are 7-1. Houston having lost to Green Bay, Chicago having lost to Green Bay. Again, we can talk about Green Bay. They've got the weekend off. They're 6-3 sitting there hoping that Chicago loses to close that gap. The next 2 weeks for the Chicago Bears, absolutely critical. They have to take care of business tonight because next Monday night you're in San Francisco facing probably what will be the toughest opponent you'll face this year next to Green Bay. Other than that, the Bears are in the driver's seat for their division title. And for Houston, they're in the driver's seat now. Win or lose in the driver's seat for the division. So, I've seen the prognostications that simply say, this could easily be a Super Bowl preview. Well, let's see how they approach it. If they approach it in that vein, then you're gonna be in for a great football game at about 8:20 Eastern time, 7:20 in Middle Earth, 6:20 where I'm at right now this evening. Again, fun. And then there's Monday night's affair. Not that any of you really truly care about Monday night's affair because it's only Pittsburgh and Kansas City. Yeah, not too many people care about it. Kansas City's just bad. I have a lot of friends in Missouri and the Kansas City area, and they're big Chief fans, and it really stinks right now for a team that's that bad. Pittsburgh's won 4 straight, and they're probably going to handle business again. And for those of you who weren't paying attention, Thursday night there was a football game. The Indianapolis Colts took care of Jacksonville 27-10. Well, most of us had that one pegged anyway. So that is it as we set you up for this week's National Football League. That was our first, I guess, of our VIN picks. And now back to you. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. If you have a comment, want to say something, just want to be on the Fastest 60 Minute Sports, you can. I am very, very appreciative to every last one of you that pay attention to the show, listen to the show, chime into what's going on in the crazy world of sports. If for nothing more than you keep me motivated and keep me going to keep doing what we do. We love sports. We love entertainment. At one point, we may actually do a WWE show just because it's just fun to do. And for the record, there's been no better character in the WWE than The Rock. Dwayne Johnson has just been out. That's the one guy that you'll go out to YouTube for just to listen to the one-liners and the clips. Rock's funniest moments, that's just good. During the days when it was him and Stone Cold Steve Austin, that was just fun television. Hilarious, you know. And, not the athleticism and the talent you have, stage or not stage, that's just fun to watch. You know, good stuff. All right. 19 before the hour. Let's get your Stone Cold Lead Pipe locks. We've held it out this long. Courtesy of our friends over at ESPN, Mike and Mike in the Morning. This is a true ESPN exclusive, and we get it every single week. Brought to you by Peak Antifreeze. Here you go with your Week 10 Stone Cold Lead Pipe locks.
These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe locks. An ESPN radio exclusive.
All right, Garlic, here we go for week 10. And my motto this week is, you need to stick it.
Why did you say that? Why? You come out with stink like that. Poop mouth.
You have been a Bears poo-pooer. You've been a Bears hater. Everybody in Chicago, including my wife, is sick to death of it. And they finally are going to stick it in your face and shut you up.
Shut up!
You said they haven't beaten anybody? Well, you won't be saying that anymore on Monday morning after the Bears beat the Houston Texans.
That's worse teams than that down the road! That's worse!
At home on Sunday night, the Bears giving 1.5 points. That's a slap in the face. They should be giving more points than that at home.
A lot of them.
Their defense is as good as any we've seen in years. Give me the Bears, -1.5. They win, and they finally silence their critics like the fat one sitting next to me.
Come here. I'm going to eat you! I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain.
Oh, congratulations. One pick and you're 0-1. Good job out of you. I'm going to go to Cincinnati where the Giants are coming to town. Giants on the road giving 4. Giants not going to be happy.
Are you mad?
Yes, I am mad.
With what went on last week, Eli Manning not happy with the way he played last week. And they're going to take it out on the Cincinnati Bengals. I like the Bengals, but I love the Giants, especially after that tough loss. They are going to come to Cincinnati and be ready to go.
Get on with it.
Yes, get on with it.
They're giving 4. You can probably give a touchdown on this one. Giants win it big on the road.
How dare you fill my head with such loathsome propaganda.
And then finally, we'll go head-to-head on the game we already discussed on the air, and I remain stunned by the position you're taking. The Cowboys going to the Eagles and getting points. The Eagles shouldn't be giving anybody points. The Eagles are in free fall. They're bad, and the Cowboys are actually pretty good.
What? What an idiot.
The Cowboys just find little ways to lose games. The Eagles find big ways to lose games. I'll take the little ways. I'll take the Cowboys. Getting 2.5 on the road, I like the boys in a big way to get the win.
Your wussiness better come in handy.
All right, there you go. 2 picks and 0-2. Good job out of you. In Philly, this one, cheesesteaks all over the place. I'm loving it. Go ahead and get the 2.5. The Eagles are going to put one together here.
I don't want to give. I blame this person. I blame Garrett. I blame Romo. I blame the defense. I don't hear nobody getting blamed.
Yeah, the Cowboys, they're looking fantastic. What's their record?
That was some of the worst stuff I've seen in a long time.
Oh, that's right. It's the exact same as the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles at home, they're going to put one together. This is Eagles Cowboys week. It is fantastic week, and it's in Phily. Eagles win this one by more than 2.5.
Don't blame me. I thought it was the stupidest idea I've ever heard of.
And those are your week 10 Stone
Cold Lead
Blocks.
This was pathetic. It was embarrassing. It was one of the worst performances I've seen in my life.
Crap.
I'm from Progressive.
Flo here, coming at you live from Progressive. Today's topic is
savings.
Our first caller is Betty.
Hey, Flo. My insurance company just sent me a bill, and it went up again. Can you guys help me get a better rate?
Betty, you came to the right place. Only Progressive has the Name Your Price option.
Name Your Price.
That's great. How does it work?
We'll give you a starting point, and you adjust it based on your needs, so you're only paying for what you want.
Betty's calling the shots.
Let's go to our next caller. She's from my hometown, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Go ahead, caller.
Winslow, is that you? Just a little reminder about the family reunion. You should talk to Uncle Gene about getting a ride to the
house. I thought we agreed you weren't going to call here anymore.
Name your price for car insurance. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Available in most states for new quotes. Price match may be limited.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. I need nine good wins today. 14 left in the ride today. Fastest 60 minutes in sports. Yours truly, Vinny Moore. Way too much on a cold day up here in the great northern portions of North America. Yet and still, we're getting it done. You know what we haven't done? Hey, we forgot that. That just kind of clicked in the brain cell. Guys, we left the CFL kind of hanging. Yeah, we did. We can't do that, man. Dude, that's the gap in the programming. You got to get that sorted out, man. Real talk today, man. The Western Semis, man. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders and Calgary Stampeders, and then the Edmonton Eskimos and Toronto Argos, man. Dude, that's all happening today. The 1 o'clock game, Edmonton and Toronto. And again, the Western Semis, Saskatchewan, and Calgary. Find your local TSN network. I don't know where you're going to be when these games get off, but if you're not watching the NFL, you need to be watching the CFL. I am truly a Calgary Stampeders fan. 9 months being on the ice now, and just the hard work and I don't care if you call them the third ranking of whatever the division. This is kind of the I think things are laid up. I think Calgary handles Saskatchewan today. I think Toronto takes care of Edmonton. It would not surprise me if Edmonton does raise its game and take care of Toronto, but I really think when all is said and done this weekend, you're going to have Toronto and Calgary moving on, and it's just going to get a whole lot of fun in the CFL. Get out to the www.cfl.ca and check out the not only the broadcast schedule, but also check out the standings and get familiar with it. And look, it's not the static that is the NFL. There is much more motion in the CFL game. And again, they play an 18-game schedule. So you know, you've got BC at 13-5, Calgary 12-6, Saskatchewan at 8-10. Edmonton 7-11 is actually in the playoffs. Montreal, Toronto 11-7-9-9. The only two teams that don't make the dance, Winnipeg and Hamilton. And sadly enough for Hamilton, because they've got a great quarterback in Burris. But all things being equal, it's going to be a lot of fun this afternoon when the Eskimos and Argos get it on, and the Rough Riders and Stampeders later on today. And since my boys don't play till tonight, I actually may get a chance to check some of this stuff out. I'm really looking forward to the Rough Riders Stampeders game, which will basically start about 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central, 2:30 Mountain Time. For those of us in the mountain ranges, 2:30 this afternoon, that game kicks off in right here in McMahon Stadium. Looking for Calgary to handle business. It's that simple. You've got some stars on both sides, actually in all four teams in the playoffs today. So look for some great television and some great entertainment this afternoon. If you're not in the NFL, for whatever the reason, you've got some options. The NFL is rocking and rolling. So by all means, get your fix in and enjoy it. For those of you who love to the sounds of any game, CFL or NFL, check out NFL.com, check out the sound of the game, check out CFL.ca for a lot of the videos. Now, one sad bit of news this past week, we lost some great men in our worlds. Coach Daryl Royal, who I want to say coached Texas A&M or Texas Tech, passed away this week at 88 years of age. Daryl Royal, beloved coach. Was in the mindset of the old Paul Bear Bryant, who, of course, has since passed away some years ago. We lost him. Also, some love to my to the family across the board. We lost someone in my family this week who was always a great mentor. Leo Cowan was 91 years of age. 91. I think like most of us in this world, we like to have that longevity life. And I don't know that there are people that can affect you quite the way those who maybe gone the miles we've yet to travel when they share things with you. And for a lot of his life, at least the last 25 years of his life, he shared things with yours truly. He used to always say whenever we talked on the phone, tell me something good. He never said a lot of hellos, hey, how you doing? It was always, tell me something good. And then we'd get into the world, whatever it would be, politics, sports. He was a diehard Cub fan in Middle Earth. Nothing else could be right in the world until 1 o'clock in the afternoon when Cubs baseball came on TV. Or, by chance, when they started playing night games, he would change his entire day around. In his later years, he would be the security guard, the crossing guard for the kids. He loved children. He loved life. He loved people. So today, we honor Leo Cowan. We honor Daryl Royal. And all those who've meant something to so many of us in this lifetime. Thank you for being who you are. By faith, thank God for seeing that with your life. And we honor you, and we will never forget you. You mean something to this world. And we thank you for your service in life. And that segue also takes us into my thanks to all of our military veterans. Monday is Remembrance Day here in Canada. It is Veterans Day in the United States, and we remember those who so fight for our freedoms to this day, and those who've come before us. And it would be remiss if we didn't honor them at every opportunity. So when you see a soldier, thank them, pat them on the back, encourage them to stay strong, because what they do is something we often take far too much granted for. Many of us could not do what they've chosen to do. And we're thankful, and we admire them, and we might want to be just a little bit mindful of the fact that we all know someone who maybe has gone off to fight in a war that they didn't invite, didn't offer up to. Some of them didn't come at all. So we're mindful. We remember. And we thank you, and we thank them. And all the families affected, thank you. Now it's time to lean forward. 8 minutes. 8 minutes left in the ride. Week 10 of the National Football League is in front of you. So get yourself, if you're tailgating today, I'd like to know what's on your grill. That would really be kind of cool. Send me a text, a chat, hit me on Facebook, whatever you want to. What are you grilling today? What are you doing for a snackage today as far as the game? To the loved ones I have in Middle Earth, family is family, love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. To my flunkies and friends on the West Coast, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Can't wait to see you guys in early December. To my Oregon Duck Quack Quackers, love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. To the friends in the park districts all over Illinois, yeah, you know where I stand. To the love in Dalton, you know where you're at. To the love in Calumet City, you know where you're at. To the heart of love in Lyle, Illinois, hey, how are you? Okay. To the fandom in Ohio, you still have the best team in college football. You just can't get credit for it. 7 minutes left in the ride. Guys, we're kind of done. We're done. What do you want to talk about? What's left? Huh? What's left? You want to talk about my birthday? Really? All right. For those of you who have not been aware, have not been paying attention to the show, I am turning the big 5-0 on December the 7th. I stopped aging mentally somewhere about 26, 27 years of age. So my brain still thinks I can do things I could do when I was 27. And it really gets upset when I realize at 49 that I just can't do those things anymore. We don't recover the same way. And I've heard the old adage, you know, getting old sucks or getting old stinks and all that. I've heard all that. You know what? I don't even look at myself as getting old. I really don't. I'm so amazing, blessed. I'm so spoiled. I mean, then again, I'm the guy that gets spoiled off a cheeseburger and a glass of Kool-Aid. So talk about the epitome of low maintenance. Yeah, that's me. All right. That is the epitome of who I am. It doesn't take much. And I still find myself sometimes trying to be that hopeless romantic. And I've yet to quite figure out why I don't just let go of that whole thing, because the world isn't like that anymore. But anyway, that's just me being me. So the birthday is December the 7th. There is a certain number of people that can actually attend the event. Which is a bit of a reach for me, because I didn't realize I had a lot of fans, but we're talking thousands and thousands of fans who were willing to travel across the country just to come hang with me on December the 7th. Well, guys, I'm sorry. There is a restriction on the amount of people that can come, so this is not an indictment. You guys know I love you, but I can only have that number of people at that event. You can find the event on Facebook. For those of you who don't know, if you're on Facebook, you can look me up at Vin Love 1207. You can hit me on Twitter at @VinLove1207. Also, If you go into the photography business that all handles all of our media work, Benson Imaging, you'll see all the event statuses and all the invites and everything else. And hey, if there's a slot there, by all means, if you want to make that trip to come to Chicago and hang out with us, I promise you that night we're not going to be talking about, well, I'm sure we will be talking about sports at some point. We'll be talking about a lot of things. More importantly, if you know me, we'll be talking about you. We really will be. We'll be talking about how much I care about you, how much I love you, how much I appreciate you, because that's how I am. Take no thought for my own. I am so blessed. I'm so spoiled. All my needs are met. I have an amazing, amazing family, amazing, amazing friends, and an amazing situation in my world. And I thank you for whatever your role is in making that happen. You are amazing. All right, 4 minutes left in this wonderful ride. There's nothing else for me to do except I got you, the fans, and you, the NFL flunkies out there that can't wait for today to get started. To the Texas A&M fans, God bless you. Oregon and Kansas State should be sending you bouquets all over the universe. All right? Now, I did hear some really, really good knock-knock jokes yesterday, and I would really, really like to get into some of them, but I probably can't do them justice. I really can't. No, I can't. But what I will do is I will table them to where I'll set a segment aside, maybe even next week or maybe in a couple of days we'll do a special on some of the fun things we've heard over the last 48 hours. To Sean and to Tina, awesome event last night. That was phenomenal. Thank you all. The Black Swan did a great job setting that out. The cake was absolutely amazing. It's always great to see Sean. Happy birthday, Sean. He turned 42 last night. Tina, you did an awesome job. You've got some fantastic friends. Love you guys and appreciate you so much. We've become friends for the last months here. And of course, now that the winter has come to the Alberta provinces, it's cold. But for those of us from Middle Earth who have experienced the cold snaps in Chicago and wind chills and snowdrifts, you know, it's just another day that we're thankful to be here on this earth, and we're excited about the opportunity that is before us. So that's going to do it this week. Yours truly on the wheel, shutting it down at 3 before the hour. Top of the hour, again, the pregame show before the pregame show reminds you that if you're watching the NFC games, you're watching Fox. If you're watching the AFC games, you're watching CBS. Enjoy your TSN. Don't forget Eskimos and Argos first, then Stampeders and Rough Riders second today. And for you NFL fans, check out NFL.com, see what's going on in your local neck of the woods. For those of you watching games on the internet, you've got a lot of different options from stream to watch to me.tv, where you can see all the games, or if you've got DirecTV or a special package, enjoy today's coverage of the National Football League Sunday night's game, of course, on NBC, and tomorrow night, my game will be on ESPN. That's going to do it for the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Yours truly, Vinny Moore, saying I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. We'll see you next time, only on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Peace.